Good afternoon and welcome to the Sitka Nature Show. This is your host, Matt. I want to thank you for joining me here in the third weekend of April 2024. After a chilly, wet first couple of weeks of the month, the switch flipped. As somebody said this week that I was speaking to in town, it sure seemed like it just flipped from winter to summer. But who knows, it might flip back again, and that may be true, but it was a remarkable week of sunshine and warmth, especially in the latter half of the week. We set a couple of daily records with highs into the mid-60s, and the forecast for the coming week is for some more sun, so we'll see how that goes. As we're into the latter half of April, spring migration is certainly picking up. Robins are abundant. I heard them singing one morning, woke up quite early, for me anyway, before sunrise, and could hear the robins scattered around the neighborhood singing. Heard my first Townsend warbler singing the other day as well. So it's a good time to get out and listen, see what's out there. Keep an eye out on the shores and the open areas in the skies above as waterfowl continue to move, geese, and maybe even still some swans to go, cranes. The shorebirds will be showing up in numbers soon unless they're taking advantage of the good weather and just scooting on by us. Sometimes it seems like that's what happens. So crossing my fingers, we'll still have a good turnout here along the shorelines at some point in the next 2 or 3 weeks as we hit the peak of migration. If you are getting out and seeing the birds or whatever else nature has to offer this time of year, I'd love to hear about it. Please feel free to send me an email, sitkanature@gmail.com. You can also get on Facebook and like the Sitka Nature page there. The conversation I have for this week's show is one I pulled out of the archives. This time of year, with the birds singing and daylight increasing, lots going on, it was always great to speak with Richard Nelson. He had an unbounded enthusiasm for especially the sounds of nature, but also nature more generally. And over the years, I had a chance to speak with him a few times and share recordings. And this is one of those occasions. Back in May of 2017, we got together and shared recordings that each of us had made, some of them mysteries. I think all of them were birds. So hope you enjoy this conversation with Richard Nelson from May in 2017. As I was getting things ready today, one of the things that I did was I was going through my recordings. And a couple of times I was like, well, what is that? I didn't even remember. And I had to go, like, it didn't sound like anything I remembered. I was there, I recorded it, but I just didn't remember what it was. And so fortunately, I keep all sorts of kinds of records. And in one case, I looked back at my pictures and I was like, okay, where was I that day? And oh yeah, that's what I was doing. That's where I was. Okay, now I remember what that was. So I'll play this, and you may recognize what this is, but at first I did not know what this was. So that went on for some time. I had heard it before I started recording, and it continued after I started recording. Do you recognize it?
It's like car talk, stump the chumps. This chump is stumped.
So the funny thing is, when I just heard this, and I recorded this less than a year ago. It was last June that I recorded it. And
where did you record it?
At Stargavin. And mm-hmm. I had no idea, but I didn't remember that either. All I had was the file date and the recording. And so my recorder records it as the date, and then that's all.
And so that's all you had.
That's all I had at that time, you know, at first. And so I was listening to that, and I'm like, well, it kind of sounds like mergansers, right? Mergansers sort of sound like that.
Sort of, but not quite right.
Yeah, but not quite right.
No.
It sounded like there was a couple of them, and when I've heard them, it's never been that continuous. And uh-huh. So I was like, what is that? So I pulled up my pictures, and they weren't especially helpful, except for that I realized that was the day I did the breeding bird survey. And I figured out, okay, it was the end of the breeding bird survey. I recorded it around 8:30 in the morning. Breeding bird survey starts at 3:15 in the morning.
Oh, brutal.
And so I end at Stargavin. That's where it ends. So then I was like, okay, what was out there? Oh, it was a heron nest. And this is a great blue heron nest.
Oh, right.
Over the bathrooms on the Mosquito Cove loop side, you know, the road there.
Uh-huh, right.
And I think there were two of them. And I remember, you know, now that I kind of dredged up this memory, I was like, the actual listening point was where the trailhead is, the parking lot there.
Yeah.
And I heard these. They're just down the road a little bit, not very far. And I heard them, and I was just like, what is that? And I'm supposed to record everything. And so I took a couple minutes and walked down. I was like, okay, what am I seeing? And I finally found them up in the tree. And herons aren't small. You'd think that, but they can blend in a tree somehow when they're up in the top. But I finally saw them. So I know actually you brought in a recording of something sort of equally mysterious, and which is why I thought you might recognize
well,
that.
Well, yeah, that's why it's interesting that I didn't.
Yeah, and although, you know, I just heard a very brief clip of it before, but let me go ahead and play it here. So it's similar.
It's interesting because the preliminary sounds there are really like yours.
Yeah.
Which, do you think that was the chicks?
That's what, because I didn't see an adult that I can recall. Yeah, I think they were the young sitting on the branch.
Yeah, and the track of mine that you played was a nest also, but there were adults there. And so I had written, when I identified that track, I wrote chicks and adults, two adults. And I just cut out some distance between that and the big sound of the adults.
Yeah,
they weren't quite that squeezed together. But isn't that interesting? The adult sound on the track that I recorded at Bartlett Cove in Glacier Bay, that I think you'd get that.
I wouldn't have guessed that was a heron.
Well, it's pretty weird.
I mean, it's very weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of the koala that you played for me once.
That's right.
The crazy koala sound from the rainforest in Australia. But, you know, I hear them just croaking when they fly, but I've never heard that kind of loud, almost a roar.
Yeah, it's the only time I've ever heard it.
Well, which makes me think herons have pretty consistently nested somewhere out at Stargaven, kind of not far. Usually they like to keep a fairly low profile. I've heard about eagles getting into the nest and eating the chicks there. At least twice I've seen the nest, or seen the young, not really in the nest. I don't know if they have much of a nest. The young just end up sitting on a branch, it seems like, most of the time.
It's kind of a bunch of sticks.
On a flat spot for a little while.
Right.
I mean, they're so big, they don't really fit for very long.
Yeah.
And I think the eggs are like chicken egg size. They're not like huge eggs. Uh-huh. I've seen the shells below a nest before. Maybe I'll have to go out and see. Was that early in the morning that you were hearing that, or...?
Fairly early in the morning, yeah. And I know there are herons out at Stargaven again now, right now.
Yeah.
Stargaven is a great place to see herons because they go back and forth. I'm sure they must have a nest going, and then they're down in the estuary. It's a great place to see herons.
It is. It's Stargaven, just putting a plug there for birds of all sorts. I'd call it the number two place I'd recommend people to go birding. If they wanted to go... If they could only go one place, I'd suggest they go to probably Totem Park, especially during migration.
Mm-hmm.
Although I suppose in the summertime, it's actually probably better at Stargaven because you have the estuary trail that goes around, and so you get the birds in the estuary. And at the edges, you can sometimes see the other birds, where in the park, a lot of times the birds are up in the canopy, and so you don't necessarily get a chance. But the nice thing is there seems to be a lot more activity along the beaches and so forth at the park.
Yeah, the park is fantastic. And the Raven show at the park is so phenomenal.
Yeah.
I like that because I'm recording sounds. I like Stargaven a lot because it has less human noise than the park does. But yeah, the park's pretty hard to beat.
Yeah,
it's such a gorgeous place.
Yeah, that it was last summer. There was a couple from Australia that were in town and birding, and they asked me to just go birding with them. So I was like, okay, sure. And they had I think over 200 species on their yard list. And he said most of those are from sitting, I mean, in their property, but most of those, he said, were just from sitting on the veranda, you know.
That's pretty
and
good.
So they live in this pretty diverse, I think the valley that they live in has a species list of over 300.
Wow.
And they actually run birding tours out of their property. But they came up here, and so I'm just like, well, you know, our birds are no big deal. They have all these fancy birds down there, and they were so excited about everything, but the raven in the park that was, they both, like, the wife, she just started laughing. She was just like, it was sort of like childlike giggling almost, just that listening to the raven making their gurglings and their croakings and their, and it was just sitting right above the trail doing that. And it is fascinating to, I think, you know, they hang out at the transfer station a lot, and then they come down to the park. And
there's so many of them. They're, there must be a lot of forays that they make back and forth from the forest at the park to their various haunts around town.
Yeah.
And it's easy to understand Australians getting worked up about our raven because they have five species of variously called ravens and crows, and you can't tell them apart from each other. But they have a really sort of monotonous, they just go, like that. And so Australians hearing our ravens, they're just amazed.
Yeah.
Because our ravens are so loquacious and have such an incredible repertoire.
The other one, the husband was very, he asked me five times, he's like, what is that? I'd say, oh, it's a bald eagle.
Oh yeah.
And then we'd go a little further and he'd hear another one calling and he'd say, What is that? And I'd go, oh, it's a bald eagle. And finally, I think it was the fifth or the sixth time he asked me, he goes, I know what it is. It's a bald eagle. I'm finally getting it. He says, we have eagles, but they just don't sound anything like this. Like,
yeah, no.
Not at all what they would expect.
Yeah, their eagle is like a little more like an osprey, or much more simple, straightforward.
Yeah.
They have a huge eagle, looks like a golden eagle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the same sort of like...
Oh, gosh, no, nothing like...
Crazy calls that
it's
they do.
It's funny,
here.
Matt, because I had some friends from down south that were here just the last few days. And I had exactly the experience you just described. One of them was pretty into birds. Mm-hmm. We did the same thing, repeating, and then they caught on just like that. You know, I guess we really don't stop to think about the varied calls that the bald eagles make.
Yeah. Here's another clip that I have of something different that, again, I listened to this and I recorded this one. This one was a few years ago, from back in 2013. But I wasn't sure what it was.
Is that at Swan Lake?
It's near Swan Lake, but it was not at Swan Lake. But there's definitely traffic going by.
It's a water bird?
It is not a water bird.
You're kidding.
Not a water bird.
No. Oh, man.
I'll play it once more for you.
Was it right by the water?
No, it was a rainy day. And so the traffic was going by and it was raining.
Wow. That's because I was going to guess like what is that blackbird, the yellow-headed blackbird?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have a really weird call, don't
but
they?
But that, I've never heard anything like that, Matt.
Well, I'm not 100% sure that I know what this is, but I had a recording that came right after it and I remembered the day. And then I went back and I looked at my pictures and I remembered the day. And it was the day of the rose-breasted grosbeak. So this was was on Lake Street there where the rose-breasted grosbeak was.
Yeah, right, because I remember Liz McKenzie had it at her house.
Yep, that's where it was. And let me see here if I can pull up the recording of the very next recording. So I have this recording, and actually you'll hear me in here as well. Let's see.
That's me. You.
Yeah. That sound more familiar?
Well, it sounds like a Stellar Jay.
That's what it is, yeah. So there were Stellar's Jays there. I think there were two of them, if I remember correctly, that were coming in and getting food, you know, at the at the feeder.
Oh, right.
And so I was sitting there on the deck for, I don't know, I probably sat there for a couple of hours hoping that this rose-breasted grosbeak would show up. And so I was just sitting there, and I think the jays came up, and they're like, okay, this isn't right. This isn't normal. So they're a little curious about me, and I kind of made that sound. But, yeah, they were making that one. And I can't swear 100% true that that was what it was, but I'm pretty sure that that's what it was. And these are why I wish I would sometimes do my labeling right away.
Yeah.
So I don't
that's
so I don't
take
forget.
Home lesson
yeah.
here.
But yeah, there was this really strange strange calls that it was making, and I don't know. It's just one of those things.
Well, Stellar J, you know, they have the most incredible range of sounds. Every once in a great while, you'll hear a Stellar Jay just completely going off into this. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound anything like a Stellar Jay. And they'll just talk to themselves and talk and talk and babble. And it's extremely rare to hear it. The one time I've heard it really well, I didn't have a recorder.
Oh, yeah. That's that's always annoying when that happens. But
Sean Nielsen up in Gustavus sent down another Stump the Chump track and said, what do you think this is? And I mean, the last thing you ever would have landed on is a Stellar J, and that's what it was.
That's what it was. Yeah. Marge Ward told me about hearing him sing walking up Nelson Logging Road, hearing them like sing. She said it was kind of a whisper song, I guess is what they, maybe that's what they technically call it. And she said they would sing until they noticed you were there, and then they would stop. She said it seemed like she's only heard it a couple of times, but I don't know if I've ever really heard it. And I don't know if this one here was, if that's what it was. I'll play it just one more time. I think it was clacking its beak.
Oh, yeah.
And that was part of what was going on.
Right.
But I think it was definitely responding to me being
there. To you
there.
Being there.
Yeah.
It's really, when you listen the second time, I'm glad you played it twice because you heard so many little sounds in there.
Yeah.
And the only time I've ever heard that, and Sean Nielsen's recording, it was like they were just playing with their vocal abilities. And it's a shame they don't do that more often.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because their regular call is not nearly as musical.
No, no.
And as varied as that.
I have heard him doing, of course, the Red-Tailed Hawk imitation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that a few times. And I've heard in other places they will imitate other kinds of hawks
to get
birds to leave the feeders.
Oh, wow.
And so when there's birds eat a feeder, they'll imitate a hawk, and the birds will scatter,
and then
they'll come in and eat up and not worry about
crafty
the competitions.
Crafty birds. You know, it's really worth... Stellar Jay, it's another bird you can get a little bit blasé about, and then you take a close look, and you just see that radiant blue, that incredible, intense blue, and it's like something out of the tropical rainforest or something, the crest. And I mean, that's a stunning bird.
Yeah, they're very they're interesting. I haven't even seen one yet this year. I know there's a few around usually each winter, and usually when I start seeing them around my neighborhood is in the fall. They'll come down, and then sometimes I see them up in the woods. You know, they're nesting, I'm sure.
Stellar Jays.
Yeah, Stellar Jays.
There are some around Thimbleberry Lake
right now. You're hearing
them. I mean,
them
I haven't
there.
Seen them. I've
right.
heard them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they're nest predators as well. They'll go in just like other corvids, and they'll steal stuff from nests. Mm-hmm. And so I've heard other people telling stories about, the jays and the smaller songbirds and the sort of interactions there. And then there's other interesting things like... hummingbirds will nest under hawk nests.
Oh, yeah.
In order to avoid jays, because the jays don't like the hawks. But hawks don't care at all about hummingbird eggs. They're too small. So.
Right.
Little kind of ecological relationships.
That's so cool. Yeah. That's so cool to think about. You know, we tend to see a bird, and then we just think about it all by itself. We isolate it from the world it lives in.
Yeah. Yeah,
and of course, which includes us, and sometimes they're responding to us, like with your you're a little squeaking at that
right.
at that cellar J, and so you can carry on a conversation.
Yeah, I've not gotten very good at it. Some people are pretty good at getting the birds to sort of respond, and you know, I sometimes whistle for owls and I try and imitate them, and I can get the screech owls to respond.
Yeah, right.
And that's kind of fun. But yeah, other than that, you know, an occasional pishing, sometimes the birds will come up and take a look. But
yeah, I was getting a Wilson's warbler really worked up the other day out at Stargavin,
mm-hmm.
not with the song, but with imitating its little.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember exactly how I was doing it, but whatever it was, it worked better than playing the call.
Oh, really? So you were just kind of vocally making the imitation.
Yeah, right. And there aren't so many birds here that are easy to whistle their calls.
Yeah.
In Australia, there are some birds that are just total suckers but our birds, you know, like our warblers and stuff, they're kind of outside. Certainly outside of my range.
Right. Yeah, I can't. Well, and just for a little reference, I think I have a Wilson's warbler here that I can play. And I definitely, I've heard a few variants of these. Unfortunately, my variants that I recorded aren't that great at recordings.
Mm.
So that's kind of the typical Wilson's
classic
warbler.
Yeah. Right. And if you hear this sound, if you don't know what this bird looks like, you take a look, because this is a brilliant yellow, little small yellow bird, and you can be walking on a trail and you hear this call. It's a little bit flat,
mm-hmm.
and you hear that call, and it's worth keeping still and just see if you can catch it. They tend to sit up high somewhere and sing this little song.
And they like, well, as you said, they're just... They're the most intense of yellow of our warblers. I think elsewhere there are other warblers. Yellow warblers here are yellow, but they're not quite
as
intense.
Not like that. It's like this thing is lit from the inside.
Yeah. And then they have that. The males have that black cap mm-hmm. that's just like stark black in contrast. And they like salmonberry kind of thickets near or in woods. So sometimes if you're walking along a trail here and there's a little bit of a kind of a minor opening with a salmonberry thicket, that's not an unusual place to mm-hmm. find them. They're actually, I think, Stargavin again is a great place to observe them.
Yep.
I've seen them along the estuary trail there in the thickets
yep.
and then in the campground.
Because
there's
the
just
campground.
That kind of opening
yep.
stuff where the understory comes in, and that's what they seem to like.
In the campground and again the Thimbleberry Lake
trail
along Thimbleberry Lake where there's a lot of salmonberries.
Mm-hmm.
They really like those deciduous thickets.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that... you know, other places, and I know you've spoken about this for Australia, but just the other places where there's just so much bird activity all the time. And up here, it's relatively quiet. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can go out and, you know, sort of at peak dawn chorus time, which seems to be about the first part to kind of middle part of June. And you get all the swains and thrushes and going. And it's weird. It's like it's the weather has to be perfect and the timing has to be perfect. And then it can just be this wall of bird song.
Yeah. Right.
And I've only heard it a couple times cause I don't really tend to get up that early and mm-hmm. it's really early here.
Really
when,
early.
When that happens.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
But it's so impressive. And then you can go out the next week and it's like maybe that was in your imagination.
Yeah.
But actually, sometimes a better time of year to listen to hear that kind of like bird activity is a little earlier. So I actually recorded this in March. So the daylight's back; we're just past the spring equinox, and so hormones are going in the birds, and they're active, but they haven't really started dispersing yet. So I'll give this a play. Again, there's a little traffic noise, but. And there's a song in there you don't usually hear here.
Yeah.
Do you know that song?
I'm racking my brain. There's a Eurasian collared dove.
Yeah.
And that, what is that junco behind it? What is that rattle? What is that rattling?
So there was a lot of juncos, a lot of juncos.
Oh, that explains why it's just sort of a continuous junco.
Yeah, right. So
but
this is actually at the very upper end of Swan Lake. Yeah.
At the upper end.
So there's that marshy area there. And the Virginia rail was there this winter. Oh. It was first discovered by a cat in January and was seemed to be okay and was let go. And we looked around for it in January and nobody refound it. Rails are notoriously difficult to try and see.
Yeah.
And then the person who originally found it lives right there and saw it. You know, we had that cold, well, you weren't here, but we had a cold spell in early March.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was frozen, but there's a little trickle of water up at the upper end and that goes through that marsh that doesn't freeze. And so mm-hmm. it was kind of out there. And so I spent a fair amount of time in March just hanging out there. And I did get to see it and get a couple of pictures of it. But the other thing that was just amazing was all the birds, because it was starting to warm up and it was getting lighter. And there were just, and it's a bunch of, along the slope there, it's all salmonberry thickets. And there was all those juncos and, you know, the collared dove and robins were around and you know, corvids of various types. But then there was that bird that was singing. And that's actually why I made this recording. So I'll play it for you once more. So that's the song. Yeah.
I mean, I would guess the white-crowned sparrow.
That's what it is, yeah.
Uh-huh. But so, it's not a normal... Yeah, it's not quite... It's a variation on a...
On what you're not used to hearing.
White-crowned sparrow usually goes dee, 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 dee. And this is kind of a different... Or maybe it's practicing up song.
Yeah. I don't know. Where are you mostly familiar with white-crowned sparrows from? Like up north?
Up north, yeah.
So that's Gamble's race up there. And I don't know if this was
Gamble's bird. Yeah.
But there's also the Puget Sound race, which sometimes winters here as well. And so we don't have, there's no reason that white-crowned sparrows couldn't nest here. They're successful north of us. They're successful south of us.
Yeah,
and they winter here, but they don't seem to nest here.
Interesting.
And I think it's an artifact of the Ice Age kind of thing. So there was some that continued to nest up north, and there was some that nested down south. And maybe their ranges are expanding, or maybe they're not. Probably the ones from the south do seem to be moving north. The Puget Sound race has been nesting a couple of times. It's been documented nesting in Ketchikan, for example.
Oh, wow.
And they've both been seen wintering here. So it was just interesting. I don't know enough about white-crowned sparrow
That's
song
really
variation.
Yeah, it's fascinating. They're a really neat bird and have a very distinctive song, although that's the first time I've ever heard one sound like that. But, I had one by my house at the feeder a couple of weeks ago, and it was really a surprise to me. I know I've seen them here, I guess, a few times, but I really wish they'd get with the program and start nesting here.
Speaking of song variation, here's one that... This is the not-as-typical variation of this bird. I like to record these all the time.
Townsend's Warbler?
Yeah, it's a Townsend's
different,
Warbler.
It's a different one for sure.
Yeah.
That's very different from the usual, isn't it?
Yeah. And that was just at the entrance to the park by the visitor center, and I saw that bird. And now, when I first was trying to learn them, I would hear them all the time, and I couldn't figure out what they were. And finally somebody says, well, those are Townsend's Warblers. And then I could listen to the Birds of Alaska CD and I could kind of hear the similarity. But the song, when I was focused on the pitches, it wasn't the same. There's a tonal quality, you know, the voice quality that's similar.
Well, this friend who was just visiting is from the east, from New mm-hmm. Hampshire.
Yeah.
And he heard a Townsend's Warbler and he thought it was a... Is it a black-throated green?
I know there's another kind of warbler.
And then I went to the bird app, and I listened to it, and sure enough, it sounds, and it looks a lot like a Townsend's warbler.
Interesting.
But, you know, there's so much variability in warbler voices, you know, that it's really fun, isn't it? That they're not all just... following the they're not all singing from the same book.
No, and there seems to be regional variation and probably variation over time. And here's one that I recorded also this year that at least to my ears, sounded a little more typical. It's not exactly like I'm used to hearing, say, at Totem Park.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, it's a little quiet, but you can hopefully hear it there in the background.
Well, that's different, too, to my ears. I always think of them saying deedle, 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 dee, like that.
Yeah, and so this one has the extra deedle, 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 dee.
Yeah, this is different.
Yeah.
This is, you know, and when you listen, as probably a lot of people, if they're avid about their birds, know that every individual bird is recognizable to other ones of its species. And I never understood that or knew anything about it until I listened to the swains and thrushes in my backyard.
Oh, yeah.
And I had one that was singing not quite the usual song, and it came back to my house for about 5 years that I would hear this same song. It had an extra phrase in its beginning of its song, and that got me listening to much more closely to swains and thrushes.
Yeah.
I've never been able to tell one hermit thrush from the other, but with swains, I think they're just so complex. But with swainsons, you listen closely to the one in front of your house and the one down the street, and you listen closely enough, you'll probably see, oh, it's a little different.
Well, here, you brought a recording of a swainson thrush.
Well, this is really interesting. Let me just say that
Okay. Listen
closely to these three phrases on this song, and you'll see that each phrase is a little different from the other phrase. So there's individual, they're not every phrase is...
Yeah. Not everyone's the same.
No, and then they'll repeat the same phrase later, you know. So you hear how the first one, it went dee, 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 dee. And the second one did a little variation on that, dee, 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 or something like that. And then the third one cut itself off at the end.
Yeah.
And when I took those three phrases out of a longer recording, and you can tell when you look at the wave, the file on the screen, and I could look down and I could see, okay, it repeated that one here. And it repeated that one here. And so if you had listened to it over 5 minutes, you would have noticed that it's repeating these same little phrases at intervals, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, one, if anybody's interested in learning more about that kind of attention pain, Donald Kreutzmann's book, The Singing Life of Birds, has just a number of chapters all just... To me, they were very fascinating.
Oh God, yeah, brilliant.
And so it is really interesting. Allison Nelson, who was here and gave a talk on hermit thrushes, and did some banding while she was here. But she spoke about a hermit thrush. You know, she was doing playback on a study that she was doing on breeding birds in the Bay Area, and that bird, she had whatever songs that she had. The bird that she was playing it for started copying the songs.
Oh, wow.
And then she said, but before long, it was actually singing the song before the one on the recording. So it recognized the pattern from the recording and anticipated it. And then I guess maybe the and you know, who knows what the females are looking for in their mates, but it was anticipating and singing before, so it started to sound like the recording was copying the bird out there.
Isn't
in the field.
Isn't that amazing?
So there's, you know, there's a lot going on there with those birds. And
I guess that's the point, is that, you know, there is so much complexity. And again, you know, go out your door in the morning, and apart from just savoring this amazing concert we get for free every day during the early part of the summer here, if you got the time and the energy to go to the park or even in your own backyard and really start listening, and you'll, if you... The time you put into it, it just going to make the marvel will just keep expanding.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, I'll go ahead and play the swains and thrush once more. So each stanza maybe is a little different.
First one has an extra phrase in the beginning compared to the second one. Mm-hmm. And they both have a nice trail out at the end. And then the third one cuts itself off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. And of course, they'll be singing here soon if they haven't started already. You know, they've been been calling. I haven't heard any singing myself yet.
No, but, neither have I.
And it is, I mean, they're nesting in backyards around here and singing in backyards.
Yeah. I mean, how lucky are we that we've got these incredible singers right here in the middle of town?
Yeah, it is pretty fascinating. And just, you know, again, it can be a little challenging to get up in the morning at the peak of the song. Yeah. But the nice thing is that there's still individuals singing later in the day.
Well, and you listen when they first get started.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a Swainson's Thrush, say, for example, will come in and grab a spot and really, really just sing and sing and sing and sing through the day, and just sing so much. And then don't take that for granted, because once they start to nest, bang, it's going to just trail way off. And that's when you got to get up at 3:30 or 4 in the morning to hear it. But before that, when they first start singing, don't waste that opportunity, because that's the best time. Or if, and then I think if they start a second clutch, they'll have another
little go of
little
go of singing.
They'll get re-energized.
Yeah. Well, and they're fun. And so here's another. This actually, I recorded this at my house. Not quite as fancy a song as the Swainson's Thrush. Many other things as well. Chickens in the background.
Oh.
Jungle fowl. But that fast trill there, you know, and it's repeated.
Yeah.
Actually, there's the fast trill. Let me go back a little bit. That trill there.
Yeah, that's a normal one.
And then there's the fast trill again, and this was just, as you can kind of hear the traffic noise in the background, that was a dark-eyed junco, and they just have a nice, their normal song is just a nice trill. It's a nice trill that goes about at the pace of this one. Here's another one that's different for another reason.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's different.
Yeah. So it's and if I hadn't seen this bird, I would have been suspicious that it was an orange-crowned warbler, because they change pitch.
Right.
But I watched this bird sing, so I know it was a junco. And that's the normal pace, but usually they just stay on that single tone
that is,
the whole
that's
time.
That's a really cool. I've never heard a junco like that. That one is really cool.
Yeah, that was at maybe halfway up, maybe not even that way, maybe only a third of the way up the trail, Mount Edgecombe, off of, up off Fred's Creek. And yeah, I don't know. It was sitting in a tree right beside the trail, and I was like, okay, I got to stop, and I let the people walk on that I was with, and waited till they were out of earshot, and then or out of recording shot, and then just recorded this bird. And again, it's, to me at this point, it's just fascinating. It's confusing when you're just getting started. You know, like, wait, what's that? They're supposed to all sound the same, but it's fun. It's fun now for me to, because I recognize, I think it's easier for me to recognize. There's still a few that I struggle with, but most of them I can recognize the sound of their voice. And so I'll key on that as much as I will the pattern or the tones. And so if it's a pattern or tone that I don't recognize, then I can revert to the sound of the voice.
Yeah.
And at least have an idea, but I still like to try and see it. If I can,
the junco that you just played that goes up a little, that jumps up a little bit higher, but that's really a classic junco, like ringing bells, like it has that ringing sound to it. And the one you had before it, I think, might have been a little bit flatter.
Yeah, it was certainly the so I'll play the one from Mount Edgecombe Trail once more here, a couple of songs. Nice and musical.
And that ringing is just classic for the dark-eyed junco, but it's so different.
Yeah, the skip in tone.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Typically that would go, you know, for at least that long.
It would go straight,
on a single
straight
tone.
On. Yeah.
And so here, with all the noise of my neighborhood, is the fast one.
Yeah, and it doesn't have as much of a ringing sound to it.
It doesn't really have the time kind of, you know, that kind of like, it's just like, but it again.
It's faster and it's flatter.
Yeah. And I've heard that a couple of times.
And then you have a song sparrow.
Yeah, there was a song sparrow that was singing in there and some pine siskins kind of going in the background.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, the siskins too.
Yeah.
I mean, this is in the middle of town.
Right.
I mean, that's what's so cool is that there are these birds everywhere.
You just have to listen through the traffic sometimes. Yeah. We get up early. I've recorded some things that are pretty quiet at my house at 6 a.m. before the traffic gets going.
Mm-hmm.
So
you don't have an orange crown warbler there by any chance.
I don't know if I do.
Orange crown warbler can be really confusing with dark-eyed juncle. But if you think of it, I don't know if we'll find one, but the orange crown warbler, I always say it like the way an orange drops from a tree.
Yeah.
Well, the orange crown warbler is very similar to the juncle, but it drops down at the end.
So you're going to say that, and then I'm going to play
give me
this
one
for
that
you.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's
and
amazing.
I recorded this one because of that.
Yeah. But it's a different sound from the juncle. You listen closely, it's different.
Yeah.
But that's really cool. Yeah. I would have been really scratching my head about that one. I would have stood there and thought, okay, which one are you?
You and me both. That's where I recorded that one. But I did see it and confirm that it was an orange because it was like it didn't quite sound. Well, it's faster than a juncle usually is, although I just played one that was that fast.
Yeah.
But it did have the same tone. And usually, as you said, they usually do drop off. Mm-hmm. That was actually at Castle Hill. One morning I was there and it was calling. Lucy Phillips likes to describe the orange crowned warbler as like running your fingernail along a comb. And so it doesn't have quite the musicality.
Yeah,
but
right.
That seems like a nice way to describe it to me.
It is nice. Yeah.
So I think this is a more typical one. Let's see.
Yeah.
So it's got that shift in there. It doesn't always go down, but it'll change pace and tone.
But just the pitch and the tone and there's something about the feeling of it that's different from a juncle. And that, you know, when you think about it, what you've just illustrated now with the juncle and with the orange crowned warbler is the fact that what's most consistent is variability.
Yeah.
You know, you always have to remember that every bird doesn't, it's just like, you know how it is, you pick up the phone and you hear somebody say, "Hey, Matt, how's it going?" And you know, bam, you know right who it is.
Yeah.
And birds are the same way. That
you get to know their voices.
Yeah, their individual voices are. And then if you're lucky, like I had the same Swainson's thrush for a number of years, you can even tell if you've got the same bird you had last year.
Yeah. And you know, I think maybe there are people out there listening and they're like, "Oh yeah, that's great for you, but
for you geeks."
Yeah, but I'm never gonna. And the thing is, I wouldn't try and learn all the birds that way right away.
Oh, you know? No, yeah, right.
Pick,
really.
Pick a bird that is your favorite bird for whatever reason. And then just pay attention to it, you know, record it if you can. Like I said, even a cell phone, smartphone, or you can get relatively inexpensive digital recorders that you can just carry in your pocket and record it. And that's a great way to learn. And the thing is that it's a daunting task to think about learning all of those birds right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, if you learn a bird or two each year, you know, four or 5 years down the line, you suddenly, and as you learn them, you have a better, like your mental processing becomes better, or your oral processing, what you're hearing becomes, you're basically just developing the tools to hear it. And so new stuff comes quicker because your brain already knows how to categorize and make sense of those sounds. And so it's one of those, you know, if you try and start fast, chances are you're going to give up. And so don't think that you have to get it all this year. Just really try and focus on one bird this year.
Yeah,
or
really
something
like
that,
Matt. And yeah, I mean, the fact is that we're sitting here talking, a couple of nerdy guys talking about the variability among them. But the fact is that for most of the birds, you know, a hermit thrush has an introductory note.
Yeah.
A Swainson's thrush spirals. And, you know, they're very different. Even if you said, okay, this summer I'm going to learn the difference between a hermit thrush and a Swainson thrush. And remember, you might have to learn it again next spring.
Yeah.
Because our brains are just like that. And just the other thing I want to say about that is if you do that, if you just took that little thing on, that's what I'm going to learn this summer, those two thrushes. Because I think most people, including me, think those are the champion singers that we have here. And then the other thing that happens is you'll find yourself just hearing more of the world because you're paying attention.
Yeah.
And you don't really have to know, does knowing the name of a bird make it any more beautiful? I don't think so. But the great thing is, just like your recordings, I think one of the things they illustrate so beautifully is these birds are right here among the traffic. And I wrote somewhere about listening to a raven in downtown Anchorage, and it was like hearing a holy man chanting in the city streets. And, you know, we have these exquisite voices, and we have this marvelous ability to sort of filter out the cars and the other sounds. But you have to make a conscious effort.
Yeah.
If you're walking by the Pioneer home, you know, you will not hear that bird unless you've sort of started saying, I'm going to pay more attention.
Yeah. And for me, the gateway was that I wanted to see birds. And so I, you know, you often hear them before you see them. And so I started paying attention to and then I wanted to see unusual birds. And so then I started listening for things that sounded different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I did a lot of learning over the years, was just like, oh, that doesn't sound familiar. And sometimes it turned out to be a variation of something that I'd heard before. And sometimes it turned out to be something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't always know. Like, so here's an example of something that I, let's see. This is something that I recorded not far from where you live, actually. Let me see if I can pull this up. Here we go. So I recorded this in the middle of the night.
That's really cool. Now I know who's prowling around on the street there in the middle of the night.
Well, that was about 100 feet up Verstovia Trail. I was actually coming down. And
wow.
And I heard that.
It's some kind of an owl.
Yeah. It's and I suspected what it was, but I wasn't sure what it was at first. But this is a call that I recorded this winter, actually later in the winter. That'll sound a lot more familiar to you. So that's the classic
screech owl.
Yeah. So those were young screech owls.
Wow. You know what's really neat? Okay, so this screech owl, or the just, that's just such a great call. And it's, you know, I have them, I hear them from time to time in my backyard. Do you hear them from around your neighborhood at all?
Yeah, in the neighborhood.
So,
I've seen one in the neighborhood.
So it's so cool. And you know what I think we don't, I often don't realize is that owls they don't just hoot.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of owls that go like that. They'll make that kind of call if they're upset about something or whatever. And if you listen to screech owls, you'll start hearing.
They have what's
variations.
Called like a white oak call. I've heard it called. And let's see if I can imitate it for the radio. It's something like.
Oh, yeah, I have heard that.
And I've heard that. And then sometimes it'll go into a bouncing ball call.
Yeah.
And then they have the bouncing ball call. And sometimes they have this kind of just weird kind of whistle.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then there's I think there was at least three and maybe four of them that were in the woods up there just behind, you know, used to be the Kiksati.
Right.
I think it's a residence now.
Uh-huh.
And so it was just behind that in the forest there. And I saw, and I think I whistled at him maybe, and I think it was an adult that flew over, and it was just, you know, it's the summer, so there's a little light in the sky, and I could see the shadow of the bird fly over, and then I could see the shadow of the bird in the tree.
Oh yeah,
there.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I think that was an adult. I can't remember for sure, but I think it called in response to me.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But mostly those were those juvenile, what I'm presuming to be juveniles begging, and whinnying like that. So you know, it was I happened to be coming down the trail at midnight. I mean, like some of those recordings. I mean, the recordings of those on either side of midnight there.
Wow.
And I heard those, and so it's things like that that make me wish I didn't have to sleep, because I was like, think of all the things I'm missing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and those owls are such suckers for an imitation.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And like the screech owl, I've done it with a blowing over a bottle, like a soda bottle or something, or beer bottle. It works pretty well. It's just that the end of the call is really fast, but they don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I just whistle. I just go.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
and it's
right.
It's not great, but it's good
all
enough.
It takes,
yeah,
though.
My son got a spotlight, like a you know a bright LED light this winter for the express purpose of looking for owls. And
really,
and so Stargavin's a good place for screech owls. People that stay at the cabin routinely hear screech owls, for example. Uh-huh. And we'd heard about screech owls being seen on Nelson Logging Road, where there's that kind of pullout, and then there's the foot trail bridge across to the estuary trail. Mm-hmm. And so we went out there, and I just whistled. And after a couple minutes, I think we heard two, but one flew in, and you know, it was dark enough. You can just kind of, it's more like a shadow flying across this. Mm. I mean, it's kind of a strange thing to say that a shadow in the night, but you can still see a shadow in the night, sort of.
Right, you can.
And he was able to get it in the tree, and we could see it up in the tree with the spotlight, you know, so I was actually able to take some pictures of it with the spotlight. But
that is neat.
Yeah, it was fun. And so Stargavin, if you're in Sitka, is a great place to go look for those screech owls around here. But like you were saying, they're, as far as I can tell, all over town. Mm-hmm. Almost every year, if I'm out at night, some point during the year, I'll hear one in central neighborhoods, you know, between Swan Lake and Totem Park. They're in Totem Park as well. Every once in a while, I hear them during the day, but not very often. But I have heard them calling during the day even as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, I think that's, I don't know if that's nesting thing or what's going on with that. But I have one more recording here that I'll play for you. So here we go. Does this sound familiar to you?
Well, it's a woodpecker.
One of them is,
One of them is, but it's a sapsucker, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one... You got me on that other one.
This is the second time I've had this happen. This is a varied thrush. This is a varied thrush,
gosh.
Alarming.
No kidding.
This varied thrush is worked up for some reason, and I'm not sure why.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think that the sapsucker came in and checked it out. Like, I think the sapsucker was like, well, what's going on? And because this recording is just a clip of, I think I recorded for 4 minutes, and it had been going before I started recording.
That
the,
is
the
totally
thrush.
Cool, Matt.
And there were other birds that would come in, and they would kind of sympathetically alarm for a little bit, and then they're like, okay, nothing to see here, I guess we'll take off. I have seen birds collectively alarming over an owl, you know, like an owl was perched, roosting,
I've seen that too,
and then they were all kind of there and that persisted for a while. But this was at Stargavin last week, maybe,
or
the,
oh, really?
Yeah, last week when I was helping Allison with the banding out there. We were just walking along the boardwalk, and just up off the boardwalk, this varied thrush was just going crazy. And I was like, what's going on? I mean, birds don't alarm for no reason. There's something going on there. And I don't know. I just know that I remembered another time, very similar. I was walking along, and a varied thrush was just started doing that, basically. And just going and going and going. And other birds would come in, and they would kind of alarm for a little bit, and then they would leave. But the varied thrush kept going, and I can't figure out why. And my best guess right now is that it has something to do with their nest. Like maybe their nest had been robbed. This one was not high off the ground. You know, I saw it even down almost to the ground, but, you know, up a few. So if it had been an owl or something roosting, I would have expected it to be kind of over the owl.
Uh-huh.
So the owl couldn't drop down on it. But yeah, I don't know what it was doing, why it was upset. And I watched it for a while. And it flew back and forth. It flew around a little bit just right in that area. And then shortly after the end of that clip, it flew off, you know, maybe 25 yards away and did it a couple more times and then just kind of quit and left. So
it's interesting. It reminds us that of the way birds can lead us to things,
mm-hmm.
as a bird will lead you to an owl. I remember being way up in the Brooks Range and hearing this total cacophony of birds, and so I went to see what it was, and all these birds, robins and other songbirds, were really worked up over a great gray owl. So I got to see a really unusual big owl because I followed the sounds. I had another in the same general area where the birds, what they were worked up about was a black bear.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was out on and the muskegs around here, and you know how yellow legs will just go bonkers with this call that's shrill and it'll kind of drive you nuts. But when you hear them, they're going off about something. Something is really bothering them. And this time I thought it might be a bear, you know, so I was going toward this yellow legs to see what it was, and what it was worked up about was a deer.
Oh, interesting.
So that the birds can really lead you to cool stuff.
Yeah. You know, as you were saying earlier, it's as simple as just going and sitting out and listening in your yard for the most part. I feel fairly confident in saying that probably almost everybody here has songbirds that are within earshot of their yard.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any places that...
Pretty tough not to, I think, really.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's, if you have any kind of shrubs around your house, there's probably a song sparrow that's there. Yep. Juncos are there. And they're maybe a little more secretive this time of year, especially the juncos. They're not around in the big flocks like you see in the winter, but they are up singing. And it's a great time of year to observe and see the different kind of interactions. See the young when they're first coming out, and they're not very bright in many mm-hmm, cases, mm-hmm. And so you can kind of see that. And if you have the chance to get to know the birds, a lot of them do have unique songs, and you can learn your neighborhood bird and learn it as an individual, and it can be fun to welcome them back every year. So many amazing things to hear out there. But birds are one of the most diverse and easily accessible to us. So
yeah, head out the door and take your ears with you.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And if anybody's hears anything that they're curious about, you can get a recording of it, and I'd be happy to listen to it and try and figure it out. You can stump the chump with me. It's not too hard to do, but it's always fun to... It's always fun. It's always easier when you know what the recording was of the first place than if you hear it. I guess that's the upside to forgetting to deal with my recordings in a timely manner, because then I get to stump myself after after a year or a few months.
Well, you got to hear both of us stump ourselves to hear on the radio today.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in. And I imagine you're up to some adventures this summer. Are you doing more national park recording?
I'm heading up to Glacier Bay in just a few days to do a bunch of recording and work on a film about natural sounds.
Oh, all right. Nice.
Yeah. It's exciting. It's just, it's a fabulous time of year just to be outdoors, and
yeah,
how lucky and privileged we are to live in this beautiful world of ours.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fun. Maybe we can talk again in the fall and hear a little bit about your Glacier Bay.
Oh, that'd be great, Matt.
Glacier Bay experience.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
You've been listening to a conversation I recorded and originally aired back in May of 2017. It was great to revisit that conversation with Richard Nelson. He was always so enthusiastic about natural sounds and birds especially. It is a season of getting out and listening to bird song, if that's what you enjoy doing. I'd love to hear what you're seeing or hearing out there. Please feel free to send me an email, sitkanature@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been Matt on the Sitka Nature Show, KCW, Sitka.
With an increase in measles cases in the lower 48 Now is a great time to make sure your family is up to date on protection against measles. Measles can be prevented with the MMR vaccine, and every child 1 year or older is eligible. Learn how to check your family immunization records and find locations to get vaccinated at vaccinate.alaska.gov. This message brought to you by the Alaska Department of Health.
You are listening to Raven Radio KCAW Sitka with translators K288CZ Angoon, K296CX Cake, K211BY Yakutat, K211EP Elfin Cove, K220BR Tenneke Springs, K220CH Port Alexander, K219BA Pelican, and K211BG Sitka. Raven Radio is funded in part by the Corporation